Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Shore Community Church. My name's Nick. I'm one of the ministers here, and you're really welcome. I'm not Nick, obviously. you can see that actually lockdown has meant the resemblance between the two of us is uncanny, but no, Nick will be joining us in a moment, though, fear not. I'm just going to bring the reading to you before he starts. So the reading this morning is from Ezra chapter 3. Starting at verse 8. In the second month of the second year after their arrival at the house of God in Jerusalem, Zerubbabel son of Shealtiel, Joshua son of Jozadak, and the rest of the people, the priests and the Levites, and all who had returned from the captivity to Jerusalem began the work. They appointed Levites 20 years old and older to supervise the building of the house of the Lord. Joshua and his sons and brothers, and Kadmiel and his sons, descendants of Hodaviah, and the sons of Henadad and their sons and brothers, all Levites, joined together in supervising those working on the house of God. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving they sang to the Lord, "He is good, his love toward Israel endures forever." And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping, because the people made so much noise, and the sound was heard far away. Amen. I'm now going to hand over to Nick very seamlessly. God bless.
Good morning, everyone. That was incredibly insulting from Hannah, wasn't it? Just taking the mic a little bit there from me. But great to have a different voice, I imagine. I'm afraid you stuck with me for the rest of this morning. We had that reading there from the start of Ezra, and that is to kick us off in today's talk. And that is continuing in this morning in this series that we've been journeying through, and that is a series of the way, and this morning it is the way of the exile. So each week we've been having different stories, and they're all different stories from the Bible about different biblical journeys that different characters have been on, and then what we can learn in light of that. This morning it is all about the story of exile and the Israelites going into exile in the Old Testament. But before we continue with the talk, I just thought it would be valuable just to kind of take stock just for a moment of where we're at. I think this is the 8th week of online services that we've been doing, and churches across the country, across the world, have been doing. And maybe if you're watching this morning, some of you might be new folk. Some of you may have never actually been to the Shore Community Church, the building in Bognor Regis. Some of you may have never really been attending a church at all. Some of you might normally attend different churches. And many of us will be regulars at the Shore Community as well. Some of us will have been obviously coming along pre-lockdown. And I wonder how many of us here online have been taking the opportunity to connect with some of the things that have been happening with the church online. I wonder if some of us have been able to be a part of one of the online life groups that have been happening this half term, and a whole array of groups that have been happening. And we look forward to hearing some of the stories of what's been taking place in those groups. We've also had a prayer meeting. As Jamie shared, we've got another one lined up, and we've had a couple of coffee mornings as well. And maybe some of you have even watched a sermon. In fact, I would probably say all of you right now have watched one of our sermons, or you are watching this one. So it's great to have that sense of community still online, but to be taking stock of the fact that it is now 2 months since the last time we gathered as a church community at the building, at our building in Bognor. And you know, so for all of us who are watching this online, it's at least 2 months since we went to church as such, went to a church service. And that might feel really strange for some of us. For some of us, that may be the longest period of time that we've ever not attended church in the physical sense. And that might feel really quite strange for us, really quite surreal and hard for many of us for that such long period of time. And in some ways, in a much less dramatic sense than what we're exploring today, but actually in some ways that is a sense of exile. Exile is this theme of having to leave your home, being out of your home, being in a foreign land, a foreign context, and feeling alienated from where you were before. And that can be in a physical sense, but it can also be in a mental and emotional and spiritual sense. And that's some of the things that we will be exploring this morning. But the passage that Hannah just shared from Ezra chapter 3, that is, if you picked up on it there, that is right at the end of the Israelites' exile. That is the point where they have been allowed to return back to Jerusalem to begin to rebuild the temple and their lives there. And so much went on before that point. So we're going to go back to the beginning, and we will return to the passage that Hannah shared a little later on. So the Israelites, as many of us will know, were in the Promised Land in Jerusalem, after they had been guided out of Egypt many years before. And they had been living in the Promised Land, but they had been oppressed for many years by the Babylonian Empire. And in around about 587 BC, the Babylonian Empire eventually does take over Jerusalem and actually takes thousands and thousands of Israelites out of Jerusalem, out of their home, and takes them to Babylon. And then those Israelites become exiles, and the city and the temple is burned and destroyed. So thousands of Israelites, God's chosen people, become in exile, and they experience great hardship and despair and uncertainty. And you can just imagine that there would have been this real sense of lost purpose, lost identity as well. And this theme of exile, as I was just highlighting at the start, continues with us today, doesn't it? Actually, we all experience exile on varying different levels at different points in our lives, where we experience periods of lostness. I don't know if that's actually a word, but it is now. Periods of feeling a real sense of being lost, of abandonment, of feeling like you're in a strange, unknown land where you're not fitting in. Perhaps it might be that you've lost your job. Perhaps it might be that you've experienced a relationship breakup, even. Those big life events can be a real sense of exile, because everything that you knew, or the foundations that you had built your life on, are no longer there. So what you were able to call home and to make your home is home no longer. You're in a strange foreign land. You're having to restart your life again. And that is where we can get that sense of exile. And obviously, our context right now, for all of us, not even just some of us, but for all of us, is perhaps that feeling of exile, where we're in lockdown. Everything that we knew, everything that we had built our lives on has all changed. For some of us, our jobs will have drastically changed. For some of us, we might have even have lost our jobs, and that would just be unimaginably hard. And for some of us, our family dynamics have changed. Who we are having to live with in lockdown, who we are able to see, who we're not able to see. Our general ways of going out, of doing fun different activities that we're not able to do anymore, things that would normally we'd be able to relax and to switch off with, and people that we'd normally spend time with, all of that has changed. We are in a foreign land. And in amongst all of that is the church as well. Us as the church, we are not allowed in the building anymore to gather together. And almost immediately, a couple of months ago, our usual ways of doing church kind of just went out the window overnight, didn't they? The way that we would do life groups, the way that we would do Sunday mornings and prayer meetings and exciting church meetings, and all of those different elements, we've had to really change what we're doing. And that is a real sense, perhaps for many of us, of loss of what we had and suddenly what we don't have anymore. And obviously there are new opportunities in amongst all that we will also be looking at. But it's good to highlight that sense of loss that many of us will be feeling in so many contexts of our lives, but particularly also in the our lives with the church as well. So the Israelites, jumping back to the story of the Israelites in exile, when they are in exile in Babylon, in this strange land under the oppression of the Babylonians, they kind of see themselves as having two options of how to respond. They see themselves as either having to accept the Babylonian ways of living, and in amongst all that, having to accept the Babylonian gods as well, to have to embrace all of those elements of the culture that they would normally be so opposed to, as the Babylonians were their enemies, but actually having to accept that. So option one is to accept, or option two was to resist. Sorry, just clear my throat. I'll just have a big swig of tea. Actually, I must admit that is just hot water. I've already had my caffeine intake for today. So Jamie will be horrified at that I'm not having a cup of tea, but it still keeps me going, so that's okay. So yes, the Israelites would have seen themselves as having two options, to accept or resist, to resist the Babylonian way and to rise against it, and maybe to try and escape or to try and fight against the Babylonians and their ways and forcing their ways onto the Israelites. But then one of the books in the Bible, one of the prophets, Jeremiah, in the time of the Israelites in exile in Babylon, he shares a message with the Israelites. And when we think of the book of Jeremiah, I imagine that for many of us, we would jump straight to perhaps the one verse that we can kind of think of from the book of Jeremiah, and that would be Jeremiah 29:11, where it has the words, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And that is a really powerful verse, isn't it? I'm sure many of us will have heard that before. Perhaps we've got it as a magnet on our fridge or a bookmark in our Bible. Perhaps we've been given that verse at some point by someone and we've given that verse to others. It's a wonderful, powerful verse. But actually, sometimes that verse is just plucked out of the context that it is within in Jeremiah, and we just instantly just apply it to our own current context. And it doesn't mean that that's wrong. Doesn't mean that there isn't truth within that verse, but it is so important for us to be aware of the context that we get many of our verses from. The term for just plucking verses out of the Bible is a proof texting. And it's something that we all do at different times, isn't it? Where we will kind of use one particular verse maybe to support an argument, maybe to comfort us, maybe to comfort others, maybe to do the opposite of comforting others, maybe to judge others. And it doesn't mean that those verses aren't true for the context that you're sharing them in. But actually, it's really important to read the context that those verses are within as well, to be able to read the bigger picture. And actually, that can create a much deeper understanding of those verses that you're reading as well. So for this verse, Jeremiah 29, 11, there is so much rich context around that. So as we already know, the Israelites at this point have been taken from the promised land. They've lost Jerusalem and the temple. It's been burned and destroyed. They're in a foreign land. The Israelites are oppressed. They're being forced to worship other gods. They don't know when or if they will be able to leave that land and return to their home. And they are desperate to be able to leave and to return. And then there's some literary context as well. The previous chapter in Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 28, Jeremiah the prophet announces judgment on a false prophet called Hananiah. And Hananiah was telling people that God would set them free from Babylon and that they would be able to return home in 2 years. And he was sharing this news around. And you can imagine for those Israelites feeling that sense of exile and that loss and that desperation to return, that would have been such an appealing message, wouldn't it? To hear that actually, no, the Babylonians' oppression will be overturned and they will be able to return to their home. But actually what Hananiah was sharing was a deep untruth that wasn't from God, but was just from Hananiah himself. And actually it resulted in God removing Hananiah from the face of the earth, it says in Jeremiah 28. And then instead of that message, Jeremiah says to the people that they would be living in Babylon for at least 70 years. And then Jeremiah, just before that verse that we know so well, just before he shares that, Jeremiah says these words: "Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." So the context around that first verse that we looked at from Jeremiah 29 is so important, because when we understand it in the greater context, we discover that the words of Jeremiah 11 were spoken to a people in amongst hardship, in amongst suffering, people who were likely desiring an immediate rescue, like the one that Hananiah was lying and sharing about. And then it goes on to say, after these verses here, this is what the Lord says: "When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will be able to call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity." So there you read it, that verse in that context, and it is so much richer. And God's response is not to provide an immediate escape from a difficult situation, but rather God promises that he has a plan to prosper the Israelites in the midst of their current situation. What Jeremiah is sharing here in this context is that there is a third way. That actually it's not just about begrudgingly accepting the exile and holding your breath until it's over. And it's not about rejecting and fighting against it. Those aren't just the two options, but there is a third way. And actually the Bible and Jesus and all of our faith talks about a third way of living. That actually we don't have to be stuck trying to decide between one way or another. But actually Jesus points to a third way. And we see that time and time again in the Gospels as well. So for example, where Jesus talks about loving our enemies, it's not just the option of either reluctantly accepting our enemy or fighting against our enemy, but the third way of loving our enemy. And then we also see it in the epistles as well with the Apostle Paul in Romans 12, some really powerful verses where Paul talks about not conforming to the patterns of this world. And Paul isn't saying, try to resist the world. And he doesn't say, just embrace the world, it's all good, it's all fine. But actually, Paul points to a third way, and that is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So going back to the Israelites, what Jeremiah is sharing to them, what God is sharing through Jeremiah, is for them to embrace the time that they have. That actually they need to build a new life within that exile. Not to build a life outside of it or in spite of it, but actually to work with it. There's some really powerful words here where it says to seek the welfare of the city, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. So that is actually telling the Israelites to actually embrace their context, to work with it, to seek to bring about change there, positive change, and to build a life. So I wonder what that means for us today in our current context, in our world of lockdown at the moment. Some of us will be acknowledging lockdown in different ways, won't we? For some people, they will be perhaps begrudgingly accepting this different life. And actually, in amongst that, might be feeling incredibly overwhelmed, which is obviously completely natural. And then other people might be trying to reject the situation that we're in, maybe just kind of in denial, kind of pretending that that is not a situation that we're stuck in. And both of those feelings are kind of natural. But I imagine for many of us, perhaps this week in particular, more than any, I don't know about you, but it's felt quite a heavy week in terms of the lockdown. I think for many of us, we've had highs and lows. Some of us have perhaps been embracing it easier than others. Some of us might have had some really tough situations, but I think for some of us, or maybe I'm just speaking for myself here, but 8-9 weeks into lockdown, kind of just the reality of it perhaps sinking in, and obviously on the back of the government sharing on Sunday and Monday, realizing that actually we're in this for the long haul, although there's going to be stages and plans for things to gradually change, that actually this is not going away overnight, is it? That actually we've got these steps that we're going to go through, and the world will look very different for a long time. And for some of us, that might be that we feel we're struggling to accept that, maybe a sense of numbness to it. But actually, if we're in denial about it, that can be dangerous. And actually what we need to be looking for in this time is that third way. That way where through Christ we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That we are called to plant gardens Some of us might have been literally planting gardens. Our garden is a mess at the moment. We've kind of avoided touching it and have just focused on doing work in the house instead. But some of us might have been literally planting gardens. But that there's a bigger message of that planting gardens things. That is about laying down roots. That is about cultivating, you know, a garden, or so I'm told. A garden can't be sorted overnight, but actually a garden needs to be cared for over time. So what Jeremiah is sharing in that passage of planting gardens is that actually you've got to cultivate this time of exile, this new life, this new strange life that you're experiencing. You've got to work with it. You've got to plant seeds and see how they grow, and then you've got to care for those different things that grow in those different seasons as well, to learn to live your life in new ways as well. And that's a real challenge for us in this time about embracing new patterns and new rhythms to our life. So to go back to what we've been talking about, the church in particular, for many of us we may be simply waiting to return to the church, to return to the church building at least, and in the meantime we're bunkering down, we're holding our breath and we're waiting for things to go back to normal. But actually we need to come up for air, don't we? And actually that air might be a bit funny, that air might be a bit difficult, a bit alien to us, but we still need to come up for air, not once all of this has blown over, but actually to be doing that now in different ways, to be seeking to still experience life. So what that looks like for the church is to remind ourselves that the church is not shut. The church is still very alive. The church is here. It's not that building in Bognor, but actually the church is here with us. It is the community of us seeking to further God's kingdom in Bognor Regis and beyond. So we need to be creating new ways of doing church. So finally, as I begin to draw this to a close, before I'm going to be sharing a video as well, we're just going to quickly look at the verses that Hannah shared right at the start, if you remember, where she said, so this is from Ezra chapter 3, and it's the words, and all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud. And when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy, no one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping because the people made so much noise and the sound was heard far away. So what that means for us today is that looking ahead to that time where we will be returning from our imposed exiles as such, the time where we will be returning not to normal, but a new normal, a time where these restrictions will be lifted, where our work, our family, our friends, and how we do life will be able to be new again and to be unrestricted. And I wonder how that will look like for the church as well, for us as the church. Kind of that sense of rebuilding the church, as we see the Israelites in that story where they are rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. What will it look like for us with rebuilding the church as well? And that rebuilding of the church will not just start once lockdown is over. Of course, that rebuilding of the church starts now in this time as well. But I wonder what it will feel like for us when we return to the physical building. Some of us, when we return, will remember how things used to be. And perhaps some of us will be mourning over that, and that things are not the same as they were before. Really, what I also hope is that there'll be some new faces at the church. We may be really excited to see that some of the folk who have been journeying with us online would actually then come along to the physical building as well and join in with that. So to be able to see some new faces, and there may be some people here who are looking forward to new beginnings with the church as well. And actually there will be shouts of joy with the sense of newness when we are able to physically return together as well. But that passage from Ezra where it shares about the shouts of joy and the weeping kind of being shared in unison together, it's a really powerful image. Maybe some of us like that image, maybe it makes some of us uncomfortable. But actually there is something wonderful about it, where it's celebrating the messiness of life, isn't it? But actually it's acknowledging that all feelings are valid, and that actually when some people may be experiencing a real sense of loss and there will be mourning and weeping, at the same time some people will see what others see as a sense of loss, they will see it as a sense of joy, and they will experience that joy as well. And actually that doesn't mean that either of those feelings are more valid than the other, but actually it's a reminder that we are one community. And it's a reminder that actually when we do physically gather back together, as we should be now, of course, is to look out for those that might be weeping, that actually in our joy of gathering together, that actually there might be some people who would really struggle with that. But at the same time, if we are experiencing a real sense of loss in what used to be, that we need to be looking for the sparks of joy as well. And throughout the time of exile for the Israelites, there is a real theme of lamenting, of weeping throughout that story. And there's a book called Lamentations that Jamie did a short series on last year. And that is all about the destruction of Jerusalem. And it's a really heavy book, but it's really powerful as well. And it's that recognition that lamenting and weeping is okay. The time that we are in at the moment is a really sad time. There is a real sense of loss, and there is real physical loss as well. There are people who are losing their lives, and it is okay to not be okay in that time. And actually that theme of lamenting and weeping is still really important today, as it was back then as well. So the future will not be normal. It will not be what it was before. It will not be the same. And that may be sad for some of us as we look ahead, but it will also be an opportunity to be seeking God's spirit of what new things can we be taking on. So I'm going to be drawing this to a close now, where we're going to be watching a video. And it is a video tied in with a really powerful poem. And the poem is centered around a few verses in the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, where the writer talks about there being a time for everything. And the writer says there is a time for weeping and a time for laughing. Those two things once again going hand in hand. And it is a reminder for us that there is a time to look forward to, where we will be able to physically gather together in the future. We don't know when that time will be, but we can be excited for that. But also we can be excited for now. We need to be seeking to embrace the present. And as Jeremiah, the prophet, shared, we need to be looking for that third way, of how we can be living out our lives now, not accepting, not resisting, but actually using the gifts that God has given us, planting gardens and laying down roots. So this poem that I'm going to share is called There Is a Time. It's by the Salt Mine Trust, and the poem itself is by Emily Feltham, and it's a really powerful poem. So we're going to draw to a close here with this poem, and I just really encourage you, as this poem plays out, just to spend some time in silence and to reflect on the words that are being shared. Thank you.